This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Howdy, third hour. Coming live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studio. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. What's going on? Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM 206 on this Wednesday. Tomorrow at this time, we'll either be dissecting a whole lot of NBA action and maybe how the odds are tilting, LeBron AD or AD staying put or a mystery team jumping in, trying to, you know, coerce the Pelicans into a trade, maybe out of spite. I mean, that's the one thing you have to factor in. Mm-hmm. The Pelicans seem so dug in deep against helping the Lakers. There's a chance they take an inferior deal just to stick it to AD and the Lakers.
Yeah, because they don't want them to go.
They don't want to make them happy.
Exactly.
You know?
It's kind of like what the San Antonio Spurs did with Kawhi Leonard.
A little bit.
The difference is Kawhi's probably a little bit happy right now.
Kawhi's doing okay for himself.
I'm telling you.
Kawhi's doing all right. So we were talking about this during the break. And listen, the trade with Tobias Harris. Well, first of all, we should at least address this on the pertaining to this season level.
Mm-hmm.
I really do like Tobias Harris. I don't think that this thrusts personally the Sixers into the championship viability, because I don't think it's going to work.
What do you mean?
Because I think there's not enough balls to go around. Tobias Harris likes to shoot.
Yeah, but the reality is they need a shooter. They need someone who can knock down three-pointers. You see his percentage here. He's a tick under 50% from the field in general, but from three-point range, he's shooting 43%.
He
can shoot.
Jimmy Butler likes to shoot. So does Embiid.
True.
Is there enough balls to go around?
But
that's my only concern. Redick likes to shoot.
I mean, yeah.
I would have made the move, too. I'm just saying. It's
could,
not a home run.
It could get dicey only if selfishness takes precedent.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And I think the 76ers, and really this is going to be a big test for Brett Brown as the head coach. Can you get this team to be unselfish a la the Golden State Warriors and push towards an Eastern Conference Finals and maybe finals in a championship? Because that's the only way this works. Really, it's the only way it works in the NBA. Very rarely are you going to find a team that's so completely selfish like the Houston Rockets right now with James Harden, meaning a player wants to take every shot, take 25, 30 shots a game. Very rarely are those teams going to win in today's NBA. If Brett Brown can get the 76ers to buy into that type of philosophy, I think this trade is amazing. But that's still to be seen.
Yeah, you know, I want to see them play 7, 8, 10 games, see where they go. I really have an issue with having a player on the court that really just does nothing for spacing. Ben Simmons is going to play 30-something minutes a game in the playoffs.
He's the biggest
35,
problem.
35, 36.
It's crazy to say, but he's the biggest problem because he is the biggest problem because he just doesn't shoot.
That's a big
problem. Even if he just jacks up 10 of them a game.
Keep
you know
honest.
What I mean? Just keep honest.
You know how many times I've said that doing St. John's games where St. John's over the years has not had a lot of great shooters,
yeah.
All right? And, you know, a lot of times, I've said this, and the theory applies, whether it's St. John's, the Sixers, or whomever, if you're open, you've got to let it fly because then you're playing 4-on-5. And if you're a complete non-threat, you know, this isn't splitting the atom. I mean, if you watch the NBA, you know that Ben Simmons has an aversion to the three-point shot. He doesn't take it unless he's flinging one at the buzzer.
How many has he taken this year? How many has he taken
six, I'm going to guess off the top of my head.
Six?
I mean, maybe less. I don't know.
Wow.
Mike, check how many he's fired up.
DCL said he doesn't think he's taken one.
No, I think he's done at least two or three buzzer beaters. I don't think he's taken one in the conventional sense, like within the framework of the offense. Like, you know, left side down to the post, Embiid, cross side, Redick. Oh, there's Simmons.
Simmons open.
No, I don't think that's happened. I think it's like, Kemp, 6 seconds ago in the first half, Kemba Walker from deep, no good off the back rim. Embiid throws it out to Simmons. He lets it 5 from 50, no good off the back rim.
One.
Okay.
0 for 11 all of last year, 0 for 1 this year.
And I'm going to guess the one is a fling that I just described.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so We'll keep an eye on the Sixers. Let's get into this, because Santer, who was a little feisty during the break, and we like feisty Santer. When he's not annoying us, feisty Santer can add to the show, and I think he could add to the show here. Mike, you were making the case that you believe that encompassing everything, the name of the players, the cities involved in this free agent, you know, push this summer, you believe this is better than 2010?
This is going to be the most exciting summer in NBA history. There's no doubt in my mind.
Summer 2010.
No, this is going to be bigger. Like, the LeBron James thing was great, but it circled around one guy. Right? I understand Bosch was involved, but we all knew Wade was staying in Miami. It circled around one guy, and maybe New York, maybe a few other places. Amari was a shell of himself at the time. Dirk didn't go anywhere. It ended up being one team and one guy that made all the news. This year, you got Klay, KD, Kawhi,
yeah, but
Klay's Kemba.
Klay's not going.
Klay's staying put.
Yeah, he's staying.
Agreed.
Doesn't matter. Kemba.
Doesn't matter. Wait, I got a question for you. If it didn't matter because we didn't think Wade was going to leave Miami, why does it not matter and have the same effect on Klay Thompson
because he's probably the fifth most important person on this list as I'm going through it.
Okay. Well, Dwayne Wade was probably number two on that list.
You got Boogie Cousins. You got Jimmy Butler. We don't know what's going to happen to Anthony Davis. You got Kyrie, who says he's staying in Boston, be honest, he wants to team up with Jimmy Butler somewhere, probably in New York.
No, he wants to team
maybe
up
somewhere
with
else.
Kevin Durant, not Jimmy Butler.
Well,
Kevin
he and Jimmy Butler are very close friends, so there's talk that they want to move.
Durant.
And then you got like these smaller guys, Chris Middleton, Al Horford.
Oh, stop.
I'm just saying, there's a lot of guys out there.
You're trying to convince yourself
now. But there's a lot of guys out there.
Chris Middleton, Al Horford.
There's five or six.
How old is Al Horford? 35?
There's five or six top tier guys and a bunch of other guys who are interesting. And Chris Middleton, you underrate him. He's a great player. Very good player. Very good player.
Look at these guys.
And then you look at the teams that are involved, right? With LeBron, he ends up in Miami, but it was really just like New York and a couple other teams potentially. Now you got the Lakers who are clearing cap space for all these guys.
Nobody wants to go play with LeBron.
But somebody's going to end up, whether it's Kemba or something else on the second tier.
Yeah.
One of those guys I listed is going to the Lakers. You got the Clippers who are now clearing off everybody to land Kawhi, to land whoever. So that means if you do get a couple stars in L.A., you got two huge teams in the second biggest market in the country. You get all this talk about Durant going to the Knicks, maybe Kyrie going to the Knicks, maybe Jimmy Butler going to the Knicks. There's all this talk. Now the Knicks could also get Zion Williamson, number one overall.
Got to get lucky in the draft.
So you've got Boston. You got the number one market in the Knicks.
Yeah.
You got the number two market in L.A. with two teams.
With two teams.
The number, what, three, four, five market in the Celtics, who are also looking to add a lot of pieces. The biggest markets in the entire country are all going to be in on like five or six elite superstar Hall of Fame caliber players.
Compared to one guy in one city. You really well. And there is a lot of hype. And this summer is going to be great. And I'm not trying to cut short the energy for this summer.
Yeah.
Look at our boys, by the way. Look at them. The big difference is this. Actually, there's two big differences. Number one, it was new in 2010. It was the first time we went
Meaning
through it to
we hadn't
this
seen
degree.
It. We had no idea what to expect.
Teague, it was crazy, man. I remember interviewing, doing local. I had Amari, and you can find this on Google. I had Amari Stoudemire, just Google. I had Amari on my show.
Yeah.
And I straight up asked him. I said, I'll never forget this. And I didn't know Amari at that point. He was with the Suns. I didn't know him at all. Before he came to the Knicks, I said, and it was Bosch and Amari, and there's a lot of debate who's the better player at that point. And I asked him that, and he said, and his exact response was, what do you think? I said, well, I know what I think. I want to know what you think. And he says, there's no doubt I'm better than Chris Bosch. He goes, not even, like, and he went on this diatribe as to why he's better, and it got a lot of, like, it's there. You can find it. It was like
it was
free agent on free agent crime.
Yeah.
It was an energy that was palpable.
When he was
that's
healthy,
different.
He was right, though.
Amari, no, I think Amari. When Amari was healthy, Amari was better than Chris Bosh.
That's what
And I said that when he was with it.
Yeah.
But that's the difference number one is that it was new. There was a different energy. It was unexpected. We didn't really know how to process it. It was a different conversation. The other thing, and I know that Mike can gloss over this and kind of marginalize, well, back then it was only LeBron. LeBron was 25 years old, just entering the early stages of his prime. I mean, Kevin Durant, I would be thrilled if he comes to the Knicks. Kevin Durant's 30.
Yeah.
It's 5 years difference right there.
Even if you get him, it feels limited. You know what I mean?
And he's not as good as LeBron.
It still feels limited. It's like, how many years do I have?
Yeah,
I don't have 7 or 8 years. I have 5 or 6.
Correct.
Right?
And
It's going to take maybe a couple of those to build the right team around them and, you know, get the coaching, you know, chemistry correct.
I think they got the coach with Fizz. I know.
Still, it's still the coaching chemistry. He's got to figure out his lineups, what his rotation is going to be. You always need a sixth man. Who's your energy guy? You know, who's your X factor?
Who's your sniper?
Exactly.
I got you.
So, I hear you.
LeBron was 25. Dwayne Wade was 28. Chris Bosh was 26. Amari was 27.
Yeah.
Jimmy Butler's almost 30. Durant's 30. Thompson's not leaving. Mm-mm. Kemba Walker's really good, but not great.
Yeah,
what's he done for the Hornets?
But with
done nothing.
But paired with the right superstar, I think he becomes really interesting, Kemba Walker.
I don't disagree with that.
But it's got, but it's interesting because
he's really good.
Because he's like Jimmy Butler in a sense.
He hasn't changed the profile of the Hornets.
He's like Jimmy Butler in a sense. If it's just him, it's what are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
But if it's him with another guy or superstar, man, that could be exciting and dangerous.
Yeah, if you play with LeBron in L.A.
That's what I mean.
And they didn't have to get rid of these, you know, maybe get rid of Lonzo Ball because obviously Kemba's going to assume the point. But if you had a team like LeBron and Kemba and Ingram, even though I'm not a huge Ingram fan, but I do like Kuzma as you do as well.
Yep.
And now you got something cooking out there. But do the Clippers, you know, even if Kawhi goes to the Clippers, as great as Kawhi is, and Mike, be honest. How many times have you watched the Raptors this year from start to finish? I'll answer it for you. The answer's none. And don't try to say yes. I know you haven't. The answer's none. So as much as you tell me is Kawhi this and move the needle that and it's historic, you don't even watch him now. You're going to stay up late to watch him. He's looking at it. He knows. The Raptors play at 7 Eastern. Their home games are not 8. They're earlier.
Yes.
You don't watch them in Toronto. You're going to stay up and watch them at Staples Center? No, you're not.
I would be more likely to watch them in L.A. than I would.
Really?
There we go.
Really?
It's L.A.
Why?
It's L.A.
But what does that mean?
Well, first of all, I wake up at, you know, 9 a.m. to get here.
Wait a second. People wake up at 6 to go to conventional jobs.
Yeah. I'm saying me.
Okay.
I'm just saying, generally speaking, like
9 a.m.
L.A. And at the end of the day, also, like, yeah, Toronto's East Coast or East, but like, the law of media-wise that you get in L.A. compared to Toronto,
okay,
it's not even comparable. I'm just telling you this.
I have another one for you. How many times have you watched LeBron James from tip to buzzer this year? I'll answer that for you as well. None,
but I also have watched zero NBA games.
Point for me.
No, but I've also watched zero NBA games from tip to buzzer. I mean,
but are
NBA
you
going to
start next season with Kawhi for the Clippers?
No, but people who are basketball fans are going to more likely watch the Clippers and Kawhi
we watch
than
it every night.
Yeah, I'm saying me. If it's me, it's different. I don't watch games from start to finish anymore. It's just a different part of my life, whatever.
Okay.
But I'm more likely to watch a Clipper game than a Raptor game. At the end of the day, what happened in 2010 it shaped the league forever because of LeBron going to Miami and what they did in Miami. What this summer is going to do is going to shape the league for the next 10 years, not just for one city, but for 4 or 5 cities. Golden State, depending on who they lose, the Lakers, the Clippers, the Celtics, the Pelicans,
the Knicks.
Yeah.
And there's going to be more teams involved because maybe the Bucks jump in here and land somebody.
No, now you're making sense. What you're
this
saying.
Summer is going to shape the NBA for the next 10 years
and
for
it,
5 or 6 different major cities.
And it starts in the next 22 hours with who's going to end up with Anthony Davis.
Nobody.
Who is best positioned to get Anthony Davis right now? Is it the Lakers? It's not the Celtics, because I think the Celtics, even if they could craft a deal that would be amenable to the Pelicans, he's already said he's not going to sign there. And so it doesn't make sense.
A lot of people think it's clutch, just his agency trying to manipulate, then maybe he would.
BT,
if he gets there and likes it. But yeah, I hear you.
It might be the Clippers. It might be the Clippers, especially with this deal that they just did that we were just talking about with Tobias Harris.
Mm-hmm.
They now have the Philadelphia 76ers 2020 pick. It's going to be a low pick, obviously, because they're good. But they also get Miami's 2021 unprotected first-round pick, as well as clearing cap space this year.
And the Heat have some bad contracts, which means the Heat's going to...
Exactly.
They're not going to go up, I don't think.
The Clippers might have been... They might have just positioned themselves in the best position to get assets to trade to Anthony Davis.
And who's running the Clippers? Jerry West is
there. Jerry West.
Not a surprise.
Not a surprise at all.
Let's get some answers. You know why? Because Antonio Daniels played in the NBA, of course, top 5 pick back in the day. He works on the Pelicans broadcast as well as the Oklahoma City Thunder, and he does the show on Sirius. We've had him on a bunch. He's a high-energy guy. He's piped in. He's honest. He's legit. So we'll get some answers. What does he think happens with Davis and the rest of the things Teague and I and Feisty Santa just kicked? Good job on that, Mike. And Feisty Santa kicked around. So Antonio Daniels coming up next. Teague and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
The right hire can really have an impact on your business. I remember going through these types of discussion about who to hire when I founded my two companies, and finding that right person can make or break your marketing or administrative team really, really quickly. Now, you can post your jobs to job boards if you'd like and hope that you'll find the right person. But think about this. How often do you yourself check job boards? Well, 9 out of 10 LinkedIn members are open to new opportunities, and yet most are not visiting job boards. So you can only reach them on LinkedIn. LinkedIn Jobs intelligently targets potential candidates based on insights from their own behavior on LinkedIn and rich profile data that you can't find on a resume, like their skills, recommendations, interests, even how open they are to new opportunities like yours. So your job gets in front of the right people with LinkedIn. That's why a new hire happens every 10 seconds on LinkedIn. LinkedIn, it's the best way to find the person who will help you grow your business. Hurry to LinkedIn.com/Tiki and get $50 off your first job post now. That's LinkedIn.com/Tiki to save $50. LinkedIn.com/Tiki. Terms and conditions apply.
All right, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 855-212-4227, brought to you by Geico. Hey, everybody, quick way to save money. Switch to Geico. Homeowners or renters or motorcycle insurance, get it all. They'll take care of you. Go to Geico.com. This guy takes care of us as well. We've had him on the show many times, although it's been a little bit of a minute. We've been so locked into the NFL, but now we're full throttle hoops. Antonio Daniels, former NBA guard, does his thing on Sirius XM and Fox Sports Southwest as an NBA analyst for both the Pelicans and the Thunder. And we got some questions, and I know he's got some answers. What up, AD? How you doing, buddy?
I'm good, fellas. How are you guys?
We're doing great, pal. Yeah, welcome back to the show, man.
You know, AD, we were just trying to debate who is in the best position to land Anthony Davis in the next 22 hours or so. And originally we thought the Lakers, because they have so many assets. The Clippers have made a move now that kind of positions them to have a lot to offer the Pelicans. But BT is probably leaning in the right direction when he says he's not going anywhere because the Pelicans don't have any urgency. What do you think happens here?
I agree. I don't think he goes anywhere. I think he goes nowhere at all. And this is why, from day one, I question the timing of this from Anthony Davis and Rich Paul. Hmm. And I get the thought process behind it. Because Rich Paul was thinking, 10 days ago, if we go public now, the only team that can make a realistic or have a realistic shot of getting Anthony Davis is the Los Angeles Lakers.
Yeah.
But what they didn't take into consideration is, what happens if the Pelicans say, we're not going to trade you? What happens to that? Because now it becomes a completely different situation. Now, if you look at the Lakers and you look at the Pelicans, all those that are involved are splintered. Those teams are both splintered now.
Yeah.
So this affected so many different people.
Yeah.
So now you can look at the locker room in New Orleans. Anthony Davis can no longer play in New Orleans. So now if you're Dale Demps and Alvin Gentry, and Anthony Davis says, I don't want to come back there. Now what? Now what happens February 8th when he's clear to play?
Yeah.
You allow him to play again in front of fans that they know he doesn't want to be there. And now you look at the situation with the Lakers and LeBron James. You saw last night when you're dangling everybody's name in this trade with Anthony Davis and it doesn't happen, now it splinters your locker room. So it's just it's an uncomfortable situation for all who were involved, and a lot of it had to do with the timing of asking for the trade.
Yeah, no, it seemed odd at the time. It seems even worse now in retrospect. But, I mean, you mentioned, and you're saying this in total about his career, Anthony Davis can't play with the Pelicans. But what happens in a week? You know what I mean? You talk about awkward, right? This is not ideal for anybody.
No. I think in a week, and I mean this, like, I have the utmost respect for Anthony Davis as a man.
Mm-hmm.
Like this situation is just a bad situation. He's a great dude. Great dude, big heart, excellent guy that you want representing your franchise. But if I am the New Orleans Pelicans, do you allow him to play again?
Yeah, that's what I'm asking. And how can we have one right. of the best players in the league not playing? And he's healthy.
I know, but think of what the alternative is. You've told everybody in this locker room, I can't win with you guys, so I'm ready to move on to something else.
Mm-hmm.
You told this coaching staff, I can't move on. I can't play well, or we can't win with you, so I need a better coaching staff.
Yeah.
And you told the fans, look, I appreciate all you guys have done for me. I've done all that I can do in New Orleans.
Yeah.
So now what? Like, do you hand him the keys to the auxiliary gym and say, you got access to this whenever you want to. Go on and work out and prepare yourself for the summertime.
Well,
I don't know what's next.
But here's the thing. It's really delicate because you still have to balance the integrity of the NBA. And here's a guy who's putting up 30 points, 13 rebounds, and basically five dimes a night. If he's healthy, and I know his fingers, he's saying he's ready mm-hmm. to go, and he'll probably come, if he comes back, he'll get nicked up again because he seemingly always gets a little bit banked up.
Yeah.
But it's a real delicate balance because you're right. I mean, it's untenable at this point to walk back in that locker room. I get that. The fans don't really want him. They're starting to say, all right, I'm ready for the divorce. And they probably also don't want him back because him playing increases their chances to win games, which compromises
right.
their draft position. I mean, and what if Garfinity gets really hurt? Then they can't even trade him over the summer. So
right.
I guess my question, Antonio, would the commissioner's office step in back to the word integrity? Would they have any say on this?
But, I mean, what can they tell you? They can't tell you have to play somebody.
I hear you. I hear you.
Basically, what you can do if you're Alvin Gentry, honestly, it would suck because this is one of the top five players in the world. And say, you know what? If you want to go and suit up, go and suit up. But I'm not playing you.
Wow.
That's my option as a coach.
Oof.
That's my option as a coach. So you're like, if you're Anthony Davis and you're saying, you know what? I'm going to file a grievance against the league for against New Orleans for everything that's going on. Then you're going to kind of force their hand. Well, we have to do what's in our best interest as an organization moving forward as well.
Boy, this is an incredible situation out there in New Orleans. We're talking to Antonio Daniels, former NBA guard, of course, Sirius XM, Fox Sports. He covers both the Pelicans as an analyst and the Thunder here. And I want to ask you something about LeBron James. Let's just switch it up a little bit. Listen, we all know, you know, he's great. I mean, there's no way around it. He's one of the most transcendent athletes of all time. I get that. But he's incredibly arrogant. He's incredibly manipulative behind the scenes. He's incredibly passive-aggressive. And I got to tell you, Antonio Daniels, at this point, I want to see LeBron humbled. I wouldn't mind seeing him lose and maybe miss out on a playoff spot and maybe see, you know, no players run to play with him this summer for the Lakers as a free agent. I feel LeBron's annoying me. I don't know how you feel about that. I don't like his act anymore.
Right. And for me, I feel and let me preface everything I'm ready to say by this, because I know we live in such a soundbite culture. I think LeBron is the greatest to ever play the game of basketball.
Yep.
I do. I think he's the greatest to ever play the game of basketball. But I think, and I agree wholeheartedly with what you're saying, there is something that is following around LeBron from situation to situation that is not good. Example, when you go to Miami and you want Spoelstra gone, but yet Pat Riley, because that culture is so strong, he says, you know what? No, we're not doing that. And then you get to four straight finals, and you win two. Then you leave there, you go to Cleveland, and then you want David Black gone, they do it. Then you want the roster completely restructured, and they do it. This time, 365 days ago, LeBron James with the Cleveland Cavaliers, when they were in the process of all these trade rumors, Cleveland lost by 32 and 34 points before they made that big deal for Jordan Clarkson
and George Hill,
Larry Nance Jr.,
George Hill,
Rodney Hood, for the same exact thing that's going on in L.A. right now. So now, 365 days later, you're in L.A., and you're playing with young guys who I'm seemingly were told, you know what, you guys are going to be the future here in Los Angeles. And now, look, the game is going on, and LeBron James is standing in the huddle with in the tunnel with Rob Pelinka and Magic Johnson. It's not a good look.
No.
It's not a good look. And I, you know what? I have been traded before. And never have one time have I been traded where I looked at somebody in the locker room and I thought, you know what, man, you backstabbed me. Not one time.
Mm.
Not one time. It's a drastic difference between being traded from the front office and being traded from someone that you're taking the floor with night in and night out.
That is the leader of your team that is telling you, hey, you know what? When your brother falls down, let's pick him up. Now everything that you say is taken different. Because now I'm looking at you sideways, and I'm wondering, as a teammate or as a brother, if I truly can trust you or not.
Well, you say you use the word wonder. I don't think they're wondering. I think that they know that they can't trust
everybody
him.
Knows that because KD said this earlier in the year. These toxic environments that follow LeBron.
Yeah.
Like you kind of didn't like put it out there like that, but you lay it out exactly right, Antonio. It's exactly what he's talking about.
So now, if this trade doesn't go down in the next 24 hours,
mm-hmm.
February 8th, heck, February 7th at 3 o'clock Eastern or 3:30 Eastern or whatever you want to call it. Like, if I'm Kyle Kuzma, if I'm Lonzo Ball, if I'm Brandon Ingram, if I'm Zubac, how do I feel?
Mm-hmm.
Like, am I playing this year out thinking, you know what, man, all right, now let's make a run because I didn't get traded? Or am I playing this year out thinking, well, why am I going to go out there and lay my heart on the line night in and night out, even though I know it's my job, but I'm probably not going to be here next year anyway?
Yeah. Yeah, I hear you. It's hard. You feel unwanted, even though.
Right. And what we do in the media, we make this whole story about LeBron James, Anthony Davis. There are so many more people that are affected by this.
Yeah.
That whole Pelicans locker room, family room, the whole Lakers locker room and family room, you saw it last night with the picture of LeBron sitting on the bench with four guys in three seats and then LeBron by himself.
Yeah.
Nobody wanted to sit by LeBron at that time.
I love it. Oh, I love it. Make him sit by himself. I love it.
It's just, I don't know. Like, for me, it's all about the timing. Is it like, if my question to Anthony Davis or Rich Paul would be, why not wait to the summertime like Kyrie Irving and Kawhi Leonard did?
Yeah. Yeah.
Why not? Like, what's the worst thing that can happen by waiting until the summertime? You can tell the Pelicans in the summertime, in July, listen, similar to what Paul George did to Indiana, listen, I know I'm a free agent in 2020. I am not planning on signing the extension then. Heck, he could have told them this summer when they offered him the Supermax extension. Look, I'm not going to sign it. I'm not planning on coming back there.
Yeah. Do we know, as opposed to
making it a big deal like it is?
Right. Now, but basically, you gave them 10 days to make a decision.
Mm-hmm. But
so
do we, Antonio,
strong-arm an organization into making a decision?
But do we know for sure he didn't at least intimate that he wasn't going to sign? Was this completely blindsiding the Pelicans, or did they have a sense? We got something to worry about here.
Yeah, or did something happen that we're just not unaware of? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know. I mean, either way, it's a difference. Like, if he blindsided, I highly doubt that.
Yeah.
I don't know for sure, but asking for a trade in July and asking for a trade even in October or November is completely different. Because when you ask for a trade in July, now you don't have to be around your teammates. You're giving your team adequate time to do something before the season started. So we have all July, all August, all September, and half of October.
That's true.
Look at what the San Antonio Spurs did with Kawhi Leonard. Look at what the Cleveland Cavaliers did with Kyrie Irving. When it's done in the summertime. But when you do it 10 days before the trade deadline, now you're not giving the Pelicans much of an option, which I think was Rich Paul's thinking.
Exactly. Try to use leverage. Try to force them to react. That's why the Pelicans are like, take a hike. I'm not helping you.
Right.
You're going to sit here
as an agent, you do not put your client in that situation.
Yeah. I agree with you, man. Very sloppy, a miscalculation,
right.
Sloppy execution, and very unprofessional on the part of AD.
Agreed.
Or Rich, either or.
Right. If you're sure that, you know what, if you're assured by the Pelicans that Anthony Davis has a landing spot, I get it.
Yeah.
But if you're going in blindsiding them and not sure how this whole thing is going to transpire, now you're risking exactly what you're 23 hours away from right now.
Man.
And that's Anthony Davis being in New Orleans, not being traded, and now putting that whole community, that fan base, this teammate, the coaches, everybody in a different, uncomfortable position.
Ugly stuff.
Yeah.
Hey, man, we're only leaving because we have to get to a break. But Antonio Daniels, of course, long time in the NBA. What a championship with the Spurs, Sirius XM, part of the TV coverage out there for the Pelicans and the Thunder. Next time we get you up, we'll focus more on Paul George and the dynamic with OKC, but obviously the Pelicans, the story. Great pop, man. Really great, great conversation. Really good stuff. Thanks, Antonio.
For sure. Thank you guys for having me, man.
You got it. I love this guy. He's awesome. Keeps it real. He's good. All right. Axe update coming at you right now. Then we've got the blast. Here's Rich. All right. We're going to get to these NBA calls in a second. Rounded up here on Tiki and Tierney. First, though, let's answer our Ask the Pros question of the day, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Today's question, let's go with this one here, T. Brian Tonley. We kind of touched this, danced around it before. But does the acquisition of Harris make the 76ers the favorites to come out of the East? My answer was no before, and my answer is still no.
Yeah, I'm going to say no as well. I think it's the Bucks.
The Bucks?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Love the Bucks.
I'd like to see them make a little cosmetic adjustment before the trade deadline.
Well, they just did one.
One little tweet. Well, they got rid of Thon Maker
and Stanley Johnson they brought in from the
Pistons. Yeah, Stanley Johnson was a top 10 pick. He hasn't worked out there.
No.
Thon Maker's got some talent. He's got to get his 30 minutes a night. Thon Maker could play a little bit. That was an interesting trade. All right, we'll see. There you go. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts, all your car care needs, guaranteed low prices, and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every single day. So, again, the 3 Eastern trade deadline tomorrow. NBA is going to be front and center. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, and CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM 206. So, Broadway's dark tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Tiki's going to catch up on Aziz.
Yes.
Get a little sleep there, Teak.
I need it. My brother was in town last night.
Yeah, I could tell you went out with Rondé for a little bit.
He came to the factory, and we went out after with the factory.
Oh, man, I don't know how you do it, buddy. And you,
hey, man, live life once.
I hear
Sleep
you.
Sleep when you're dead.
It's not about want. It's about ability to. Like, you just have endless energy, which is an awesome thing. That's great. Teak, the world's best, including Jordan Spieth and Jason Day and Dustin Johnson, take on the breathtaking yet brutal golf courses at AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am this weekend on CBS.
That's already?
When did we get invited to that,
by
the way?
I'm telling you, right?
We get invited to that?
Been a while.
Since we've been invited? We've never been invited.
I used to go when my brother, because Rhonda used to... I told you I played once.
I don't think you told me this.
I sucked so bad.
Wait, you weren't with CBS, though?
No.
Okay,
I think I was actually with NBC when it happened.
So, okay, even worse.
Yeah, but I sucked. Yeah. So I was like, I'm not, because it's embarrassing, dude.
How bad was it? How hard was the course?
It's not that it's hard. It's like, there's people.
Oh, yeah.
standing right there.
They expected to advance the golf ball.
You're right. And you're like, you might want to back up.
Yeah,
a little.
Yeah.
So I was
shanking it all over, shankopotamus.
Terrible,
really
terrible. So I only went to caddy for Rondé.
Oh, you didn't play?
I played once.
Okay,
and then from then on, I only caddied for Rondé. But I forgot my hat one day, and my head got scorched. I mean, it was like black.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, man,
not tan.
Black. It was black.
How great is the course in person?
It's
it must be beautiful in person.
It's gorgeous out there. And it's like half a party and everything. It's awesome.
Oh, yeah.
It's awesome.
My father-in-law and both my in-laws, Becky and Fred, they played when Jen and I lived in San Francisco. It was before kids. They played at Pebble. This is when my back was really jacked up. Although I wasn't playing at all. Otherwise, I would have been out there. And I remember they had, I believe they still have it, they have a camera on the first tee box where you can watch family, friends, whomever teeing off. So we watched them take their first shot from our apartment in San Francisco at Pebble Beach.
Nice.
That's incredible, man. But yeah, I mean, let's not get away from the main topic here. CBS, eventually you can throw us a bone. We've been doing the show for 6 years here. I mean, come on. What do you have to 10 years? You get an invite? Come on. I'd love to go play. Let's go.
We'll suck, but hey.
Hey. I will practice every day
to
make sure. Yes, I will. You know that. If my body allows me to, I will. Andrew's in L.A., and Andrew's on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. Talk some hoops. What's up, Andrew? How are you today?
Good, and how about you guys?
We're good, awesome. Man. What do you think?
Good. I feel like it does have to do with LeBron, but I feel like AD is probably going to be coming to the Clippers, and I feel like Philadelphia is going to do whatever it can to keep him out of the East. They're not going to want him to go to Boston. They're not going to want him in Milwaukee either. And I feel like Philadelphia thinks that the East is theirs.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't know why they would think that. Certainly it's not.
They haven't played well enough. The 76ers, and it's confounding in a sense because last year they felt so right there, and maybe they get a little piece. Jimmy Butler seemingly could have been that piece. It hasn't transpired.
No,
right?
I mean, they haven't
not that they are bad. Not that they're compromised in any way, but It just seemed like...
Dude, they're the five seed.
I agreed, but it just seemed like there was a natural step that they were going to make that they didn't make.
I agree.
And I don't, and I can't pinpoint why.
Well, first of all, they might not even have the right coach, with all due respect to Brent Brown. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, he navigated, and give him a lot of credit, and I give the organization credit, and he was absorbing loss after loss. We all know, trust the process. And I'm not saying he's not a functional coach. He's okay, solid.
Yeah.
But you don't know if Brent Brown's the guy who's going to elevate that franchise. I mean, very well might not be.
You're right.
Matter of fact, I'm going to stop short of saying I don't think that he is.
Yeah.
But I'm leaning toward not believing that he is. I want to be fair to him because I do think he's a good coach. I don't know if he's a great coach. Edwin's in the Bronx, and Edwin is on Tiki and Tierney. What up, Edwin?
Hey, guys. Always supporting you guys, either on TV or on Twitter, you know.
Appreciate you.
Thanks, man.
What's up for us?
Oh, man, is it safe to say trust the process is over now?
I mean, it has to be over. You're talking about in Philly?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, no, they've acquired everybody they need. But the question is, how do you take the next step? They got to a pretty high plateau last year, and either they're parallel or stepping down this season. So, the process is over. I mean, that whole thing is done. Now it's go win something.
Mm-hmm.
Right, absolutely. And as far as I agree with Mike, this is the best offseason this summer.
Wait, you agree with Santer?
Yeah.
You're not allowed. Nobody's ever allowed to agree with Santer. He's allowed to get no affection, no love, nothing on Twitter, nothing on the phones. That is not permitted on Tiki and Tierney.
But he is right. It is going to be interesting.
Yeah, we already have a blockbuster trade deadline that's looming us with KP, and eventually maybe KD will be gone. So if this trade deadline be KAD,
yeah,
and KP being traded, the trade deadline alone could, you know, be one of the best trade deadlines, including the summer.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, hopefully, you know, maybe we can get Antonio Davis in 2020.
Now, when you say that, you're a Knicks fan, obviously.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Maybe we can get KP Davis this summer, get AD in 2020. And I think as far as GM of the year would have to go to so far early, I would give it to Jerry West, or if we can get KD, I'll give it to Scott Perry.
Yeah.
Oh, Scott Perry. I mean, they've lost 37,000 games in a row. Scott Perry shouldn't. I hear you on if they get Durant. Yeah,
think about how we're evaluating this, like the success of these general managers.
Mm-hmm.
Can you get one of the top five players in basketball?
Game's changed.
And if you do, man, hell of a job.
Yeah.
You get a bonus.
It's different.
And if you don't, what are you doing? Like, what's your plan B?
Mm-hmm.
Race to the bottom? I mean, what's your plan B?
There's no middle-tier quarterback. There's really no middle-tier. Like, back in the day, there were a lot of – and I know I referenced this team a lot, but and it's a while ago. Mm-hmm. But, like, you know, like the Milwaukee Bucks, when you knew that they weren't as good as Larry Bird Celtics or, you know, Dr. J and Moses, even though those guys were getting – Dr. J was certainly getting old at that point, and so was Moses. But Andrew Toney and those guys and a young Barkley, you know, the Bucks were a cut below them mm-hmm. as well for the most part. But they were right. They were in the meaningful part of the conversation.
Yeah.
Kind of, you know, but it's like now that's not good enough. And it's no longer the draft and development recipe has kind of gone out the window for a microwave fix. It's like, you know, let's break it down. Not even a microwave, because it's actually prolonged. It's mm-hmm. the exact opposite of a microwave. It's like a slow cook burner that you go to work and you come back and your rump roast is done.
You're right.
I mean, you keep it on for 9 hours because now there's really no reward in being a five seed. There's no dignity. It's sad in being a four seed. There's no appeal, you know. But listen, before we start anointing the Sixers, and I know that you're not doing that either.
Oh, I'm definitely not.
No, I know you're not.
I'm definitely not.
But can they resolve Jimmy Butler's situation? Are they going to even resign him?
I mean, he doesn't. Does he think he wants to be there? I don't think so.
I can't tell. I can't make that declaration yet. I don't know. I need to see.
Really hard. It's really hard watching him play because he's. I mean, he could be playing for the Clippers, or he could be playing for the Suns right now. He'd play the same way. You know what I mean?
In terms of energy and tenacity.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, yeah, he's a pro. Yeah, he's
so
never going to
so
be. Never,
so yeah. You can't tell. Like, yeah. You can't judge happiness by looking, or contentness, I should say, by looking at how he's playing.
How engaged he is.
Yeah.
Because he's going to always be, because he's a pro.
Exactly.
I agree. That's a good point.
Right? But
some guys you can. They start to loaf. They start to take the foot off the gas. He'll never do that.
Unless I had access to his text messages with his girl or his agent.
Yeah.
I have no idea.
I hear you. Yeah, we're kind of guessing with him. J.J. Redick's deal is up. You know, he's making 12.5 this year. He had the big contract. What did he make last year? 23?
23,
that big contract.
It was worth it.
I agree. Oh, no, he's really solidified, and he's a great locker room guy. He's a great shooter, as we know. J.J.'s a good player. But do you bring J.J. back next year? Do you bring back Wilson Chandler? He's expiring. Do you bring back Jimmy Butler? He's got a player option. He'll opt out.
Chandler's gone.
Not Chandler.
He got traded to
not
the Clippers.
Chandler. I'm sorry. Not Chandler. I'm forgetting his name. Yeah, Chandler's gone. I like Wilson. I think Wilson's going to – he's fine. He's a good player. Not a star. He's not a scrub. He's good.
Yeah, we'll find out.
Tomorrow's going to be a huge day.
By the time we're on air, we will know. The trade deadline is 3 p.m. Eastern. Our show starts at 3 p.m. Eastern, 12 Pacific. We will know.
What time's the Woj bombs come? Do we get a little Woj bomb in the middle of the night?
With an AD attached to it?
A little Woj bomb?
There will be no Woj bomb. Ooh. I agree with you, BT.
See you tomorrow. Peace!
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.